Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, a worship podcast of the Congregational Church of New Canaan in New Canaan, Connecticut. To learn about the life of our church, our in-person ministries, and the virtual connections and offerings available, please visit us at www.godsacre.org. Now, wherever you are, wherever you are going, we welcome you to worship.
Church family, good morning. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, wherever you happen to be, wherever you're traveling, whatever you're doing. We're so grateful to have you tune in this morning. This is Celebration Sunday. This is the Sunday that kind of closes out our program year. Church obviously continues through the summer, but this is the end of our program year, and we have in worship our children, our church school children, offering up their spiritual milestones. And then we have about 30 eighth graders who are going to be confirmed, and seven of them will be baptized this morning. We also have some new members who aren't here on New Member Sunday who will be joining as well. So it is quite a day on God's Acre, and I just pray that you will appreciate as much as I do all that God is doing in our community of faith. So with that, I invite you to listen to this morning's anthem.
Reach out and you find me in
So we're going to look at the call of the disciples in the Gospel of Mark, and it's kind of abrupt, but and I know you know these stories, but it says in the first chapter, verse 16, as Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As Jesus went a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending their nets. Immediately he called to them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. So those are the fishermen, but then we get to the tax man. In chapter 2, verse 13, a similar story, it says, Jesus went again beside the sea. The whole crowd gathered around him, and he taught them. And as he was walking along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth. And he said to Levi, follow me. And Levi got up and followed him. Let's take a moment to pray together. Lord God, we ask that you would allow the words shared in our time together and the meditations of our hearts to be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the confirmands, who we're focusing a little bit on today, have to answer and know a bunch of information. And one is, what's the purpose of worship? And maybe you know what that is, maybe you don't, but what we instruct the confirmands on and what they know and what they'll recite today is that the purpose of worship is to give thanks to God. We might think that worship is for us, but it's really our praise and worship offering to the Lord. So while we will be offering celebration and appreciation to certain people and for certain accomplishments today, this morning, honestly, the praise and glory are God's. And I just want to express so that you hear this, how grateful I am to God for all our confirmants. This was actually an amazing year. I think maybe the best with kids who were just particularly attentive and thoughtful, and families who had really grown up in the church. So that when the kids got to confirmation, they actually knew quite a lot. I mean, we have a problem in church today. We've got 12 confirmants who want to read their statements of faith, and many more that could have, given how well they'd compose their statements of faith. So we have too many kids who want to read, then we have spots in worship. So we're going to have to figure that out, and we'll probably have some of our kids offer statement of faith reflections during summer worship. As a pastor of this church, I'm just so very grateful to God for the time that I've had to spend or been able to spend with our eighth graders, for all the time and effort they've put in and their families have put in, and for the learning they've taken out. And for Doug Simpson and Twee Hafner, I give thanks to God for them because they make this program happen. We couldn't do it without them. They pour themselves into this program and these kids. And as a church, I hope you'll join me in being so appreciative of their efforts. The first question that our confirmands have to answer in their statement of faith, and you probably heard this over the years, is what does it mean to be a Christian? And we let them know that there's actually a technical answer to that. To be a Christian means that you choose to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And that's the point of our program, to understand what it means to be a Christian so that these kids can decide if they want to be one themselves, right? So while there is that specific definition, being a follower of Jesus, what we say to them from the very beginning is that we want them to think about what following Jesus can look like for them. Okay, everyone's different. As a result, everyone's relationship with Jesus will be a little bit different. And our relationships with Jesus, just like our relationships with other people, have a way of changing or evolving over time because we change. We continue to grow, at least hopefully. We mature over time. So the answer that anyone would give today, and our confirmands would give today about what it means to be a Christian, probably not going to be the same answer that they would give 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now. It should somehow be different if they spend time, if we spend time maintaining our connection with the Lord. One of the things that I want to let you know is that this coming year, we're going to be offering adult confirmation, 12 sessions in the fall and 12 sessions in the spring. It'll be hybrid, so people can participate wherever they happen to be. But we want all of our adults to really think about what being a Christian looks like for you at this stage in your life. For folks who have young kids, I want them to know some Christian faith basics so that they can actually communicate them and teach them to their kids. But what I want to do this morning is simply tell you what being a Christian, what following Jesus means to me as a 53-year-old pastor and person of faith. And it begins with this. I've come to believe that mature faith is connected with a deep internal longing. See, I believe each of us have this sense that our lives are not entirely complete. You know, there's always this little piece of emptiness, maybe at times a larger piece of emptiness within us that aches to be filled. And it's that sense at the core of our being that makes us feel as if we're never quite at home in our own skin, let alone in the location we dwell. And this, it's important. This is not an adolescent thing. This isn't just a teen thing. It's part of the human condition, our shared human condition. We feel incomplete so much of the time. Now, this is not necessarily a terrible or debilitating sense, but it does have a way of disquieting the soul within us, and it can prompt within us a restlessness. Now, many of us deal with that internal ache by trying to fill or complete ourselves, right? I mean, we believe that if we're accomplished enough, or if we acquire certain titles or awards or recognition, somehow the ache will ease. But it doesn't. Not really. You know, we hope and we pray that finding the right friends or finding the right life partner or building a family will settle our restless nature, but it doesn't, not entirely. And then sometimes knowingly or unknowingly, we deal with the longing inside of us by engaging in unhealthy behaviors that can mask, at least for a time, the yearning within us. So we eat too much, or we drink too much, or we surf the net too much, or we purchase too much. When we find ourselves feeling a bit empty, our impulse, and it happens for all of us, our impulse is to begin to consume anything and everything that might allow us to feel full. You know, I found that this internal yearning for wholeness and completeness can be really pronounced when life has just come apart at the seams. There's been a job loss or divorce or something that's just gone sideways, you know, or our attempts to just fill ourselves with utterly and embarrassingly failed. So when things haven't worked out, sometimes we're really aware of that emptiness within us. But conversely, I also know when we reach the mountaintop, when we get to the pinnacle of our efforts, what we've been aiming for, when we achieve, or if we achieve all that we've ever dreamed for ourselves and more, that sense that we still aren't quite whole can be even more painfully acute. So now I want to transition to that call of the disciples, because I think there may be a connection here that explains the abrupt nature of these stories. I have questions, right? I've got questions about Jesus' call of his disciples. The encounters had with Jesus, the decisions made to follow Jesus, at least in these stories, seem jarringly abrupt. According to the story, Jesus would just pass by some fishermen or pass by the local IRS agent at the tax booth. Jesus would offer an invitation and they would just drop whatever they were doing and follow. And I've always wondered, and I suspect you have too, who does that? And how does anyone do that? Why would they? See, the people in those stories, you know, they didn't just like drop, when it says drop everything, that means they dropped jobs. I mean, some of them had spouses. Some of them left their families. They left their communities behind. Poor old Zebedee ended up alone in his boat without his boys. So, again, who leaves everything behind to follow Jesus? And the answer that I've come up with is people who come to the realization that the yearning within them,
The desire for wholeness that is never quite satisfied is actually our human longing for God. I mean, why did Peter and Andrew and James and John and Levi drop everything? Because they came to believe that Jesus might just be the way, the truth, and the life they so longed for. And for us, we can come to believe that too. And honestly, it probably doesn't happen in eighth grade, but maybe when we're a bit later in life. But we finally decide that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and we do drop what we're doing to finally and more fully commit to following. I've been thinking about our eighth grade confirmants, and I really wonder if I seem as old to them as the ancient Reverend Dollefeld from the First Congregational Church of Fairport, New York seemed to me. You know, it seemed like there was such a tremendous gulf between my eighth grade self and that elderly pastor. I mean, what could he tell me then? What can I tell our eighth graders now that might aid in their walk with the Lord? And honestly, perhaps nothing. I'm going to have to trust that the resurrected Jesus, the Jesus alive and at work in the world, can do some of that relational work. But I will say this. I love my life. I really do. I love my wife and my children. I love my vocation. I love being a pastor. But I also love being a pastor here with you on God's acre. I'm so very grateful to God for all that I've been given, for all that I've experienced. And I'll tell you, if it all ended tomorrow, if everything came to an end tomorrow, I would have nothing to offer but thanks and praise to God for all that has been. But here's the thing. As a person of faith, I have to admit that there is still a yearning, a longing, a desire for completion. And I believe following Jesus and being a Christian, I believe finding new opportunities to go all in on my faith in the Lord, I believe that's the best way, perhaps the only way to the wholeness that I continue to long for. So what does it mean to be a Christian? To me, I think it means to lean into that longing, to trust that the yearning within me is my soul's response to the Lord's invitation to relationship, to set aside all the many things that I thought would make for a complete life and do the one thing necessary. Follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Trust in his leading. Practice what he preached. And when I fail, which feels far too often, believe that tomorrow Jesus will invite me and you to begin again and again and again. Let's pray together. Lord God, I suspect that your call in our lives is not a one-shot deal. It's not something that we receive in eighth grade and don't receive ever again. I believe that you are always calling to us. Even in the Gospels, we know that you continue to call the disciples from the beginning of the Gospel to the very end to further follow you and emulate your life and living. So, Lord God, we pray, whatever age we are right now, whether we're an eighth grader getting ready to make vows or whether we are 80 years old wanting to recommit ourselves, that somehow, Lord, we would be willing to say yes to your call. And that somehow, in the midst of that yes, we would sense a coming together of our very being, of a knitting together of ourselves so that we begin to feel that wholeness that we so desire. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, dear church family, we go to summer worship next week, which means when you're here in New Canaan, we will not have an 8 and a 10 o'clock service, but we will have a 9 o'clock service in the garden, the Memorial Garden. If weather is nice, it'll be in the meeting house if weather is inclement. Also want you to know that we've got a fair portion of the church front yard fenced off for toddler time because we are beginning our construction of our brand new playground for all these young families that have made their way into town. So with that, I hope you head into the week with God's blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with kindness and give you peace now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Worship on the Go. To support this podcast and the ministries of our church, please consider making a contribution by clicking the Give button in the top right on our website, www.godsacre.org, or within today's email. God bless you and have a wonderful week.